In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States of America at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Abraham Lincoln's 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation. This is the proclamation which set the precedent for America's National Day of Thanksgiving. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to invite and provoke the aggression of foreign states, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed. And harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, the needful diversion of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense has not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of as iron and coal as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is expected to a continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be reverently, solemnly, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and voice, by the whole American people. I do, therefore, invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and those also who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and prayer to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who will become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington, this third day of October in the year of our Lord 1863, and of the independence of the United States, the 88th. Signed, Abraham Lincoln.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." This is the Holy Gospel.
grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Don't listen to the choir. I'm running the service. Happy Thanksgiving. I don't know if you looked at the front cover of the bulletin. It looks like a photograph, but it's not. It's a painting. Our own Dave Tindall. He is such a good painter. He also painted those images of Redeemer steeples that hang in our town square. Whatever he paints, it looks just like a photograph. His claim to fame, remember when Bernie Madoff got in trouble and they had to sell all his possessions? Well, he had one of Dave's paintings. Sort of cool. And so he loves doing country scenes and tractors and farm equipment. And there was a number of tractors, because I was looking for a tractor, a number of tractors to choose from. But I chose this one for the front cover of the bulletin. And you may ask why. Well, this one's still for sale, and if you like to buy it. It's in the Hamptons at a gallery there. Just giving a little free PR. You see a tractor, you think of a farm. Maybe harvest, maybe Thanksgiving. We're told that Jesus is surrounded by a great crowd. It's the height of his popularity. There's people all around him. Everybody wants a piece of him. And all of a sudden from the crowd, someone said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, interesting question. You know, according to Jewish law, the oldest brother got two-thirds. The next brother got one-third. If there was another brother, it would come from the one-third, not the two-thirds. Obviously, this is the younger brother. He feels cheated. He feels like he didn't get what he deserved. You know, it's so unfortunate. We see this happen in other families or maybe even our own. When there's a death and an inheritance, there can be a lot of squabbling and bickering. Somebody felt like they didn't get what they deserved. And you know, it can disrupt and destroy a family. And it's so unfortunate. Obviously, it's happening to this man. He comes to Jesus with a problem. Solve my problem. But Jesus isn't concerned about his problem. Jesus wants to change his heart. You know, so often when we go to Jesus with our request, with our problem we want solved, so often we're asking the wrong thing. And he looks at our situation and circumstances and realizes we need a change of heart. This man needs a change of heart. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to him, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." You know, so often we think that's the case. The more we have, the happier we'll be. Jesus is saying the opposite. You're not going to find your security in wealth. You know, greed is a scary sin. It's not like other sins, like taking God's name in vain. When you do it, you know you did it. Or stealing. When you steal, you know you broke a commandment. But greed sneaks up on you. It sneaks up on you, and you don't realize it, and all of a sudden, you think you're going to find happiness in having more, in accumulating more, in coveting more. Jesus is saying life is not about possessions. It's not about wealth. It's not about having more than somebody else. And he told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Jesus tells us already, before this man had such a successful harvest that he was rich. He was already rich compared to the people that surrounded him. He already had much. Now, Jesus is the narrator of this parable, and he's brilliant in telling a parable, because as Jesus begins as the narrator, all of a sudden what happens? This rich, successful man has to open his mouth. He has to tell you how successful he is. He has to tell you how he had so much. Did you notice? Six times in those few words, six times he said, I. Four times he said, mine or my. It reveals his heart. It's as if he interrupts Jesus. Let me tell my own story. You know, people filled with themselves. We run into people like that. He blurts it out. This is my story. This is my success. Now, Jesus is not condemning wealth. Not at all. He's not condemning success. He's not condemning planning for the future. None of those things. What is he condemning? This man, all he saw was himself. He didn't look up. Now, look, he's going to tear down the barns and build bigger ones. What does that tell us? Well, other years, those barns were fine for the harvest. It was able to hold it all. This is a big year, a bumper year, a year that he's never experienced before. And all he can think about is tearing down those barns and building bigger ones. We're being told that this was an amazing harvest. You would think this man at that point would look up and say, God, wow, thank you. But there's no mention of thankfulness to God. There's no intention of going to the temple, which would be part of their religious life, and make an offering of thanksgiving to God for the blessing. There's no mention of anybody else in his world. He doesn't ask the question, how would God have me use my wealth and my success? How can I be a blessing to others? Proverbs 23:4. Do not wear yourselves out to get rich. How many people have worn themselves out to get rich? Who have lost their health for wealth. And once they accumulate their wealth, they spend it to get back their health. What good is it? Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what they have done. What a powerful passage. That when you're kind and generous to someone in need, you are being kind and generous to the Lord. This man had no sense of community. And yet, Jesus would teach us so much that we live in community. We don't pray, my Father who art in heaven, give me this day my daily bread. No, it's our Father. And give us this day our daily bread. It's community. It's people loving each other. It's people watching out for each other. It's people taking care of each other. This man thought he was going to have happiness and security in his wealth. Listen to what Solomon says. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes closer to the end of his life than the beginning. And the purpose of the book is to determine what is the meaning of life. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing. my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took no delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. And he would go on to say, vanity of vanity, all is meaningless. It didn't satisfy. It didn't give him that sense of security. It didn't make him happy. Read a story not too long ago. Southern preacher, Pentecostal preacher. Name was Billy Bob. That's a good name for a Southern preacher, Billy Bob. And he worked at the Home Depot. He won the lotto, $31 million. You know, many times people say to me, Pastor, pray for me. I'm playing the lottery this week. If I win, Redeemer's going to get some money. His life fell apart. He lost all his money. His wife divorced him. He said to his financial advisor, winning the lottery is the worst thing that ever happened to me. Shortly after that, he'd end his own life. Now you think, well, that wouldn't happen to me. I wouldn't know how to be a good steward. I wouldn't know how to manage that. How do you know it wouldn't happen to you? How do you know it wouldn't destroy your life? And why do you look for such things as that? Because you're looking for security outside of God, aren't you? And I love how people say, pray for me. If I win, Redeemer's going to get some money. Why do we have to have more in order to be generous? Right? Why do we have to have more in order to be generous? Solomon would go on, the conclusion of his book in the last chapter, in verse 13 of chapter 12. He says, look to God and live for God. That's where you will find what you really want and need in life. He'd also say in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, that chapter where it says there's a time to live and a time to die. He says in verses 12 and 13, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. He breaks down life to its simplicity. Because there's the gift. As the rich man interrupted Christ as the narrator, now God interrupts the rich man. By the way, this is the only parable that God is a character in. But God said to him, you fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourselves? This is how it will be, whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. In the Greek, the word there for life could have been bio, where we get the word biology. It's more physical life. But it's Zoe. Zoe is that spiritual life. It's that life that inhabits this body. It's that eternal being that God has created. Also, your very life will be demanded. That term demanded is a legal term. It means if you lent something out, it was still yours. And whenever you wanted it, you had the right to take it back. Do you hear what God's saying? I have lent you a soul to inhabit that body. And when I say it's time, it's time. What are you doing with that body? How are you living your life? Are you living for self? Is that all who you see? Or do you see people that need to be loved, cared for? You have that relationship with God. The word fool. It's interesting, the Greek word is, the root word is friend. It's where we get the word euphoria, okay? It's your inner being. When you have that euphoria, you're on top of the world, but the word is totally different. It means without life. He says, you're a fool how you've lived your life. it's no life at all. And you missed out on so many things. James chapter 4. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. This man made plans for his future that he would never see. We don't realize it's all up to God, that all things we have are from the hand of God, and that our tomorrows are in his care and his keeping and within his will. Listen to what Jesus says. He said, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus is saying your soul is more valuable than the whole world. Than the whole world. Why is he saying that? Because your soul is eternal. This world is so temporary. And yet so many get lost trying to live for the things of this world and have the things of this world and own the things of this world. And in the end, the farm owned this fool. And in the end, your things that you find comfort and security in end up owning you. Every Thanksgiving, give away a little trinket that goes with the message. And there's a few people in the congregation that pull out those trinkets year to year and try to remember my boring sermons. Whether it's the acorn we gave out 1 year, or the wishbone from a turkey, or the wheatback penny. Well, this year you're getting a little charm. I want everybody to get one. I want you to put it in front of your dinner plate. It's up a tractor. Maybe it'll spur some conversation. Not to fall into the trap of the rich fool, but to openly give thanks to God who has given you all things and who has supplied your needs and have given your time and your talent and all your treasures, to recognize him. What Solomon is telling us about life, it's all about relationships. That primary relationship is God, and to live for him changes how we live for ourselves, and it opens our hands to take care of those in need. Secondly, our relationship with others. To take time, look around the people you love, and to thank them, and to share your words of what they mean to you. Because one day, you won't have an opportunity, and you don't want it to go by. And maybe today at the Thanksgiving table, it's a hard year. There's an empty chair where a loved one used to sit. And you may think, all my blessings are in the past. Well, then go to those blessings in your memory and thank God for what he gave. But also pray that he open your eyes and change your perspective and change your heart to see the gifts that he has given to you in the present and to celebrate and rejoice in those things. Solomon breaks down our life to something so simple: to know God, to do good while we live, to be content in our position of life, and to eat and drink and be merry, to celebrate what God has gifted us today. That is truly a gift from God. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.
Please rise for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have revealed to us our poverty. For if you had not shown us that we need riches toward you, we would remain like the man in the parable, not knowing that we are indeed impoverished to you and fools. But you, through your wisdom, have sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, who became as one who was poor and without a house, so that he might make us his holy habitation. And through this, dear Lord, we ask that you would enlighten our hearts and minds this day, making us ever more thankful that you have sent your only begotten Son to die for us, and in so doing, have made us rich toward you. Let us cling to this in the faith which is the gift you have given through our baptism, that we may indeed receive all good things from your hands and be ever so generous to those around us. We pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give to us his peace. Amen.